I'm very excited about this Uptown Theater thing because, you know, I grew up going to the movie palaces. And like I said before, they weren't in the greatest shape when I went. I would go, I started probably going regularly to, you know, the big, especially the big movie palaces in the Loop. That's where I really, I mean, every Sunday morning, my dad and I would go down to the Loop. Either we'd take the L because we lived right next door to it, or he'd drive down. And you could park down there on a Sunday without a lot of issues back in those days. But I probably started going down there late 60s, early 70s, all the way through to when, you know, the theaters began to close in that area. So my experience of going to a movie was theaters were big. They were beautiful. They had incredible architecture inside and sculptures and paintings. It was a different time. Now, granted, a lot of the theaters by the time I started going, they had rats. I'm not going to lie. They had rats. The floors were sticky. You know, homeless dudes would come in because you could go in at like 8 a.m. and stay till 2 a.m. And so you can just sit in the back and crash if you want to. Pay a couple bucks. You can sit through 9 kung fu movies. So that's what was happening. I mean, I wasn't there during the days when they'd have like Martin and Lewis play 8 shows a night and then show a Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis movie and a newsreel and a cartoon and all that stuff with live organ accompaniment. But it was still a special experience to go to a movie in a big, crazy movie theater in these big palaces. And I loved them. I loved all those theaters in the Loop. So that's why I'm excited about the Uptown. I'm trying to remember some of the movies I saw at the Uptown. I mean, I saw a lot of movies at the Uptown. I know. Remember I saw The Eiger Sanction with Clint Eastwood, the mountain climbing movie with Clint Eastwood, The Eiger Sanction. Saw that there. I saw The Gauntlet. Well, maybe did I just see Clint Eastwood movies there? I saw The Gauntlet there. It's another Clint Eastwood movie. So those are the ones that I vividly remember. I especially remember The Eiger Sanction because, first of all, I love the movie, and I just vividly remember going to the Uptown to see that one. But I'm sure that I've seen more than just 2 Clint Eastwood movies at the Uptown. I'm sure I saw a ton more. And you remember these places. And one of the special things about these places used to be that they were in your neighborhood. Like you could probably walk 6 blocks and walk into a beautifully designed, gorgeous movie theater that holds like, you know, at least 500, maybe 1,000 people. And this would be like on, you know, I'm just walking down Western. And then, boom, there's suddenly this beautiful theater. So that's what I want to talk about, are those old movie palaces or those old neighborhood theaters that you saw your favorite movies in. And, you know, I got some stuff online here from people who are reminiscing. Now, Dan, you grew up, you're younger than I am, but you grew up in the city.
Yep.
What was the theater that you would go to the most?
So our theater that we went to the most was the Norwich. Was the one that was the one that we did. But the one that holds a special place in my heart is the patio.
Of course.
Because I live, you know, my parents live just down Austin Avenue.
Yep.
So that was the one that we went to most often. And, you know, when I started appreciating movie theaters and movies and getting into a little bit more, you know, walking into it and seeing it and just the beauty of that place, that one holds a special place in my heart. And then we would also go to the Portage. We saw a double feature. I don't remember the first movie, but I remember vividly the second movie was Captain Ron. And we felt
the great Kurt Russell.
The great Kurt Russell, Martin Short. And I remember it vividly because it was a double feature, but we weren't sure if it was a double feature. So we felt like we were sneaking, you know, we were cheating and watching, Captain Ron.
That was when the patio would have still have been split down the middle in 2 theaters.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, and as a kid, I would go to the patio and it was, or not the patio, the Portage, the Portage. And it was one big, beautiful theater. And then some idiot decided, and it was 1980 when this happened, because I remember I went to opening night. You know, they had, it was a free night, and they split the theater in the middle. And this is like the worst job. Now, they've since taken that wall out. It's now one, the Portage is still one big theater. It's rented for private parties and stuff, and so is the patio. Patio, they have stand up, and they show movies every once in a while, free movies and stuff, but it's not, there's not programming every night at these 2 theaters, as I think there should be. And I know Jay Warren was running the patio for a while and doing some really cool stuff there. It's still beautiful, though. The patio is still beautiful. My parents live right around the corner. So But at the Portage, I remember I went, I was waiting in line, such a movie geek. I went by myself because I wanted to be there the first night. They were making a big deal out of the patio is now two theaters. And you can buy a ticket for, they didn't tell us what the movies were, but they were free. So you can get a ticket. Either you'll get ticket for theater one or theater two. And so I ended up in theater two. And so I walk up, and there's somebody, you know, like there's an usher. They had ushered them. The place was packed with a lot of people. They had vests on. They made it look like they were trying to recreate the Movie Palace feel. And I, if I'm not mistaken, we got free popcorn. It was one of those deals where the movie was free, popcorn was free. So I walk into the theater. Now, I had gone to the Portage at this point 9,000 times in my life. When they put the wall in, they didn't remove the seats. The seats were in the same configuration as they would be if it were one theater. And as you know, a lot of movie theaters have their seats like a semicircle.
Mm-hmm.
So they, when you were walking in, the ushers were like, the best seats are on the right. They're telling us to sit on the right because otherwise you're kind of facing the wall because they didn't take out the seats. The seats were angled as though it were one screen, and the screen was all the way to your right. So you'd sit in the seat. And then you'd have to scooch around and turn so that you could see the screen.
That's hilarious.
It was terrible. I remember going in there. Who the hell designed this? Who thought it would be a good idea to leave this configuration of seats alone when you throw a wall down the middle and your screen? You have to crick your neck in order to see the screen. And by the way, the movie they showed was a film. I don't know. You have to look it up. It was about Elvis. And Diane Lane was in it. This was 1980. It was called Touched by Love. And it never got released. Like, it was never released. It's the only time they showed it. I don't know. Maybe they just got two really cheap movies that they could show. And no commercial release. But it's Diane Lane. It involved Elvis. And she was handicapped, if I remember correctly. And it was called Touched by Love. That's the movie that I saw on an angle. What? On an uncomfortable for my neck angle. What does it? Is it IMDb?
A young nurse becomes determined to reach an unresponsive teenage cerebral palsy patient by encouraging her to write to her favorite rock singer, Elvis Presley.
Who else is in it? Because I remember Diane Lane. I remember Diane Lane was in it. She played the girl.
Deborah Raffin.
Oh, Deborah Raffin. Right. She played the nurse.
And John Amos was in there as well.
John Amos. Yeah. So that's the movie I saw for free, and my neck hurt for 3 weeks. Because I had to sit on an angle with my neck turned because whoever thought it would be a good idea to throw a wall down the middle. If anybody remembers that. Yeah, well, you do, Dan. But I think at one point they replaced the seats.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, what the hell is this? Same thing happened. I remember I saw, because then they opened up for regular business, okay? And I ended up going to see a bunch of movies there on an angle. One of them being Seems Like Old Times, which is one of my favorite Neil Simon comedies. One of the funniest Chevy Chase movies ever. Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn, Charles Grodin. One of the funniest movies. One of my very favorite movies of all time. And sat on an angle. And, you know, again, my dad's like, who the hell thought this was? What's this? So, anyway, everybody hang on. We got people who are calling in, talking about their favorite movie theaters growing up and some of these great movie palaces. All because the Uptown Theater is going to have a renovation. We're very excited about it. So anyway, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk more. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on your overnight radio. It's Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in. There's a theme every morning and you pick the bumps. Today is 2 for Tuesday. One artist, two songs, 312-981-7200. Squat requesting Utopia with Caravan. We are remembering the movie theaters of our youth, going to these movie theaters and talking about some of the great and beautiful movie palaces that used to be in and around the Chicagoland area. We'd love to hear from you. I would be remiss if I did not mention Lee Kingsmill's book, Safe Inside, which is a memoir. Steve King's brother wrote this book called Safe Inside, and it's a wonderful book. And we interviewed Lee on the show a few months back, which is podcast, if you want to go back and listen to the podcast. It's a memoir about him growing up on the south side of Chicago and, you know, dealing with some of the things that was happening in his life at a time when many of those things were kind of taboo. And the only places that he felt very safe were in these great movie palaces where he would go in and spend the day and see movies over and over again. And he describes in great detail some of the great south side beautiful movie palaces. In fact, the cover is a replica of the Avalon Theater, which was on the south side of the south side. And it's called Lee Kingsmill. That's Lee Kingsmill is the author. And he's Steve King's brother. And the book is called Safe Inside, a memoir. And I can't, I would feel stupid to talk about classic movie palaces if I didn't mention that book. So it is tremendous. All right, let's see. We got a bunch of people who are calling in. Here is Laura on WGN. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to tell you about life along Lawrence Avenue of 1950 to 57.
Okay.
Heading west from the uptown, you got to Kedzie, and then there was the terminal, and across the street was the metro. And then going to Pulaski, there was the Admiral, and then the Gateway.
Yes, the Gateway was Avenue. Lawrence and Milwaukee. The Gateway is now the Copernicus Center.
Yes.
The Admiral is a strip club.
Right.
And the other ones are gone. The other those
the terminal and the metro are gone.
Yeah.
What was interesting about the metro, it was a much smaller theater, and I know that was not a Valavin and Katz. I think the terminal was. But the metro was a small theater, and you walked in, and we called it the backward movie house because the screen was behind you when you walked into the theater.
Oh, wow. Oh, you know, see, I don't remember that theater. I remember... I don't remember the metro. I remember the terminal, but I don't remember the metro. Mm-hmm. But wow, yeah.
Well, this is we started going to the movies alone, you know, with the kids when I was maybe in sixth grade.
We just
got to Lawrence Avenue. And then I'm trying to remember as I was waiting here when the buses started, because I remember going to my aunt's house on the streetcar.
Yeah.
Lawrence Avenue.
Yeah, there used to be streetcars down Lawrence. There's no question about it, yeah.
Yes, but anyway, that was life on the north side.
I appreciate that, Lawrence. Lawrence, Laura, take care.
Well, all right, then, bye.
All right, here is Scott on WGN. Hey, Scott.
Nick, how you doing?
All right, all right.
I spent my 20s in Berwyn, and they had two theaters there. One was called the Berwyn,
right.
The other one was called the Olympic. And they had to have been built in the, you know, early 1900s. And every time I went to, it was like they had second run movies there, so you get in for $1 or $2 instead of the outrageous $4.50 we paid.
Right, that right.
But I remember just walking in thinking, I would love to just clean this place. You know,
well,
you look up at the ceiling and they were beautiful and all
building
and everything.
I've been to both of those theaters, the Olympic more than the Berwyn. I remember really loving the Olympic. The Olympic was a beautiful theater. And I went there. I remember that's one of the, you know, I don't know if you listen to the show regularly, but there's this horror movie called Phantasm that I saw like 900 times. And the Olympic, I remember seeing it at the Olympic at least 3 times.
Okay.
Yeah.
I listen to the show religiously,
by the way. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate
it. And as an aside, you and I went to the same ELO concert, the Out of the Blue one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They're coming this summer to the Allstate Arena.
I know they are.
It's a Wednesday night.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And they're doing, like, the Out of the Blue tour. They're doing the whole Out of the Blue thing. They're going to bring the spaceship and everything, and it's going to be nuts.
So, I hadn't heard that, but that's exciting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to get that thing out of mothballs.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Take care. See you later.
Okay.
All right. Here is Karen on WGN. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, yeah, I grew up on Irving and Elston. I was between the Irving Show and the Commodore Show.
Yep.
And the Irving Show is not there anymore. I don't know if the Commodore is, but
it's not,
I know my...
It's not. That's my neighborhood. By the way, that's my neighborhood, Karen. Where I live right now, you and I would have been very close neighbors.
Yeah.
Very close neighbors.
Well, that's my husband and I went to the Irving Show all the time. And, and the one I do remember the most is when my dad and I went, they had a triple feature with Elvis Presley. We saw Love Me Tender, Jailhouse Rock, and Flaming Star, which was the first color picture that Elvis starred in.
Oh, wow.
At the Irving.
Cool.
And, and the Commodore, we went all the time, too, with my parents. And we would go in and watch double feature westerns. And you would go in at the middle of one movie.
And stay until the second movie started and you got to the part that you walked into in the first movie.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it used to be. You never checked what the movie times were. You would walk in. If you were halfway through the movie, just stay through the second movie and get to the point where you saw, where you remembered.
Right, and we were able to walk to both of them, so it was really kind of cool.
The Commodore,
I grew up on the cello.
I'm trying to remember where the Commodore was. Was it California? Was it near California? I think it was near California.
Yes. It was just east of Kedzie, down that way. It probably was closer to California, yes.
Yeah, I think it was closer to California, and I remember it was on the south side of the street. It was on the south side of Irving. I saw a lot of movies at the Commodore. I remember I saw The Omen at the Commodore. It scared the hell out of me. The Commodore was because I grew up at like Addison and Lincoln. The Commodore was pretty close. It was a quick drive to go to the Commodore, you know, or a quick ride. So
yeah, well, I remember too, even going down to the Portage because that was over on Six Corners,
right.
down Irving Park. You know, Irving Park was, you know, so nice, and they had the electrical, streetcars going down there too. So it was really, you know, just so convenient all the time. And then we would go to the Buffalo, which was across
the ice cream place.
Irving Theater.
That's walking distance from where I live now, Karen.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the Commodore was on Irving between Albany and Troy.
Oh, okay.
That's where it was. Karen, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Have a good morning.
You too. Bye.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I got a ton of texts here. By the way, Esmeralda, somebody here just sent a text, 815 area code, said the Rialto Theater in Esmeralda's J-Town is a beautiful place with a balcony for making out when we were in our teens.
Oh, wow. I've been there, and it is gorgeous.
But they don't show movies there anymore, right?
I think they started to again.
Uh-huh.
They'll show them every once in a while, but it's not a normal thing. There's usually plays that go on.
Right, and concerts.
Yeah, and concerts.
Yeah.
So, notice how she skipped over the making out part.
I only went there for like school things, so I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's not an answer.
No, it's not. Yeah. Did you have, before we jump for a break and go to the news, Esmeralda, was there a theater that you went to regularly?
Ours were pretty generic-y, like big time called
Mall.
Movies 8 and Movies 10.
In Joliet?
Yes. And I think one was just across the street from the other.
There you go. So you had 18 movies across the street from each other. There you go. All right, very cool. All right, everybody hang on, 312-981-7200. The news is up after this. Welcome back. How you doing, everybody? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Tuesday, 2 for Tuesday.
Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday, Captain Whammo.
That's one artist, two songs. Request them now. We'll play them in a little bit. Canadian Bill in with Alana Miles and Still Got This For You. And we're talking about our favorite movie theaters when we were growing up, reminiscing about some of the movie palaces, some of the great movie theaters that we saw some movies in, and all because of the Uptown. They have announced that they're going to renovate the Uptown, $75 million worth of renovation for a classic, insanely beautiful theater that's been sitting dormant now for years and years and years. So that's the inspiration for this conversation. We've got a bunch of texts that are flying in and a whole bunch of people who are calling in. 630 area code says, when I was a kid, I went to my neighborhood theaters, the Uptown and the Riviera. How about the Catlow Theater in Barrington? 301 area code says, we have a great old movie theater in Washington, D.C., also called the Uptown. That's another thing, you know, that a lot of these movie theaters share the same names. Like a lot of movie theaters in different cities and stuff have, like, I would imagine that there's an Uptown theater in about 25 cities, or there used to be. Mark the Breadman said, my parents always took me to the Patio Theater. Beautiful architecture and cool projected clouds on the ceiling. Yeah, the clouds on the ceiling. That was always cool, man. I used to love the clouds on the ceiling. You know where else they had the clouds on the ceiling? Music Box had clouds on the ceiling. And the Nortown, which was on Western at Devon. The Nortown Theater. Yeah, the Nortown Theater. Dan, you don't remember the Nortown Theater. It was you were very young. I think they closed down in the late 80s, early 90s, the Nortown. But the Nortown Theater was located on Western, right south of Devon. And I went to that. We went to that theater a lot. You know, I saw a movie in Sense Around there. And you guys remember Crazy Sense Around. It was that great idea that somebody had in the 70s to, you know, in order to replicate, because the first movie ever filmed in Sense Around was Earthquake. And so in order to put the audience in the earthquake, each theater that would show Earthquake was equipped with gigantic speakers in the back that they would crank every time an earthquake happened. And it was like they would blast the bass up high. And it what started to happen was plaster started to fall from movie theater ceilings. And the whole theater would like shake. And I remember at the Nortown, I went with my buddy Larry and my dad to see Roller Coaster, which was also shot in Sensoround. And I remember we were waiting for our showtime to start. So it was, you know, because this is when you could go into a theater and just kind of hang out in the lobby. Like if you went to a 6 o'clock show, you were waiting for the 4 o'clock show to end. So we were waiting for the show to end and we were in the lobby and we had our popcorn and the Sensoround started. And Larry flipped his popcorn. He jumped so high, he flipped his popcorn all over the lobby. This was before we even walked into the theater. We weren't even in the theater yet. Yeah, man. I think the Nortown is one of the theaters in Chicago that held the record for showing Star Wars the longest. I think it played there for like 2.5 years. I'm not kidding. Like no new movie at the Nortown, which was one screen. Until in the 80s, they split it into three, which is what they did to a bunch of theaters. But yeah, the Nortown, that was a good theater. I used to love that place. 847 area code says, the Will Rogers on Belmont west of Central and the one on North Avenue near Harlem. The one on North Avenue near Harlem was the Mercury. That was the Mercury Theater. I went to that theater a lot, too. Saw a ton of movies there. But yeah, the Will Rogers, the thing about the Will Rogers was, when I was growing up, they predominantly showed really crappy live-action Disney movies. That's the thing that I remember. If you went to the Will Rogers, if you were a kid around my age in the 70s and your parents were taking you to a Will Rogers movie, you were going to see a Disney movie. And I'm talking about the string of really crappy live-action movies from the 70s that the Disney studio did. I mean, really awful movies. And that's where you would see them. There were movies like No Deposit, No Return. There was the North Avenue Irregulars. These really, really terrible movies.
What was that about?
I don't even remember. The North Avenue Irregulars, and they would have all these stars from the 50s in them. Like, you know, Phil Silvers would be in them, and Joel Flynn. Yeah, the North Avenue Irregulars, I remember seeing that one there. No Deposit, No Return, I believe, was a heist movie. And they were all, like, they had the same revolving, like, Dean Jones was in a lot of them, and, yeah.
The North Avenue Irregulars, when crooks set up or operations in a traditional town, a minister and a group of church ladies are willing to do anything, no matter how wacky, to get them out.
Ooh.
You see, that's the kind of crap that Disney was making in the 70s.
You gotta do that for your film series.
Yeah, yep. I wouldn't call that crap. That sounds intriguing.
Well, read off the cast. You got the cast handy?
Edward Herman, your
Edward Herman was in that? Mr. Gilmore, Richard Gilmore was in that? The guy I peed next to at O'Rourke's?
Barbara Harris.
Yeah.
Susan Clark. Karen Valentine.
Karen Valentine in like 12 of them.
Michael Constantine, Cloris Leachman.
This is what I'm talking about.
Patsy Kelly, Douglas Fowley, Virginia Caper, Steve Franken.
These are kids movies, by the way, Dan. That's a cast that they're aiming at kids. Michael Constantine is an actor that kids in the 70s are supposed to go, oh, I need to see him? Now, look up the other one that I mentioned, the No Deposit, No Return. Because I remember going to see No Deposit, No Return at the Will Rogers, and it was so packed kids were sitting on the floor that they oversold it. It was so packed. It was like, wait, this movie's bigger than Star Wars. That would be No Deposit, No Return. And I can't remember who's in that one.
I will lay that on you here in a moment.
Okay.
But the summary.
I think this was a crime heist movie, right?
It's a few sentences.
All
so
right,
here we go.
All right, here we go.
After finding out that their mother is going to be working through another school holiday, two children are shipped to spend the holiday with their grandfather. On the way to see him, the children decide to fly to see their mother in Hong Kong instead, but they need money for tickets. They accidentally run into two criminals at the airport and end up in a taxi with them. At the criminals' hideout, the children decide to send a ransom note to their grandfather to fund their flight to Hong Kong and help the criminals pay a debt. shenanigan ensues.
Yeah.
And like an O. Henry novel, the ransom decreases as time passes.
This is unbelievable.
Wait,
see?
Shenanigans ensue? That really was that it already yeah, I know. Shenanigan?
It's a bunch this of banana is oil. Seriously, Dan, and I can't, I'm not even scratching the surface of the amount of crap that Disney released in the 70s that we went to see at the Will Rogers. Who's in this one?
We got David Niven.
David Niven.
Darren McGavin. Don Knotts.
See, Don Knotts. Darren McGavin. It's the old man from the Christmas Story.
Herschel
Bernardi.
Bernardi.
Yeah.
Barbara Feldon. Your girl, Kim Richards.
Yep.
Brad Savage. John Williams. Not that John Williams or that John
British
Williams.
John Williams. British John Williams, who used to do... He always played butlers. And he was on the commercial. I know you guys don't remember this, but people who are around my age will vividly remember this. Like it was a commercial for a classical album, like the best of classical music. And he was hired to be the spokesperson because he's British. So they put him in like a suit, and he was in like a library with a bust of Shakespeare next to him, going, "Listen to the beautiful work of Vivaldi." And you're supposed to like it because it's a British dude. It's John Williams. And so they put him in a kids' movie. That's good casting.
Mm-hmm. Robert Hastings, and then my two favorite, Charles Martin Smith as Longnecker, and Vic Tayback as Big Joe.
Vic Tayback, I mean, that's an all-star cast. How could an 11-year-old kid in the 70s not think that that's going to be the greatest movie ever made?
Well, clearly you guys did. Packing the house.
Pack the place. But that was the thing. It was like, you know, your parents would look in the paper and go, "Oh, it's a Disney movie. Let's just take them to it." And you would always go to the Will Rogers, because the Will Rogers at Belmont and Central, that if you lived in Chicago, that was where you saw all the horrible Disney movies from the 70s. Like Gus. You guys remember Gus?
Nope.
About a field-kicking mule? I'm not making this up. This is a real movie. Gus, about a field... And that movie was huge. All of my friends saw it. We saw it multiple times. It was about a field-kicking mule. Who's in that one, Dan? Look up Gus. There's another classic Walt Disney movie that we sat through at the damn Will Rogers.
The aforementioned Don Knotts.
Don Knotts, yes, of course.
Ed Asner. Gary Grimes. Tim Conway. Luis Williams. Dick Van Patten.
Dick Van Patten.
Ronnie Shell,
a ridiculous stand-up comedian who was popular in the 60s.
Bob Crane.
Oh, Bob Hogan.
Tom Bosley.
Oh, man, Mr. C.
And Dick Butkus.
And Dick Butkus, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Gus, the field goal-kicking mule.
This is pre-Air Bud.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
This is Air Bud's grandparents.
So I mean, these are the movies that this is the kind of crap I saw when I was a kid. That's the kind. When quality kids movies started to come out, people were just like stunned, because this whole era of live action Walt Disney movies was so terrible. And we went to every one of them because, like I said, my parents would, if my dad wasn't taking me to see The Exorcist, they were like, "Let's take the kid to see a Disney movie. What's playing at the Will Rogers?" "Oh, Gus? All right, let's take him to see that."
Now, would they stay?
My parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, sometimes I would go with my friends. But, like, listen, by the time I was, like, 12 or 13 or 14, I had seen every conceivable monstrosity that you could imagine on a movie screen.
I just imagine it would be torture for them.
No, it wasn't.
Of course, to sit through these movies.
That's the thing. That's why, like growing up at that time, the parents just were probably like, "What the?" But again, the cast was also aimed at parents. Kids don't know who the hell Bob Crane is at that time. Parents do. They know who Darren McGavin is. I mean, so they would cast these people, but like Ronnie Shell? Ronnie Shell, like is a 10-year-old going to know who the hell Ronnie Shell is? But a 30-year-old would. That's the Will Rogers. I'm sorry I went off on this rant, but whenever I think the Will Rogers at Belmont and Central, all I think about flooding back. Oh, how about this series right here? Also starring Don Knotts. The Apple Dumpling Gang. There were two of them. I remember that movie was so successful, they had a sequel. And it was, I want to say it was Ken Berry. I want to say it was Ken Berry and Don Knotts. That was the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Did you get to see the one where he's a fish?
Mr. Limpet?
Yeah.
Well, that was a movie that came out in the early 60s, so I saw that one on TV.
Oh.
And I loved that movie, and I still love that movie. That and the Ghost and Mr. Chicken, those are both fantastic Don Knotts movies. All right, Dan, what do we got?
For the Apple Dumpling Game, they've got Bill Bixby.
Oh, it's Bill Bixby. That's right.
Don Knotts, Tim Conway, Slim Pickens, Harry Morgan.
I think Kim Richards is in that one, too. Harry Morgan. See what I'm saying? What? I don't know. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll get to the phones. No more. I can't talk about the 70s Walt Disney movies anymore. My head's going to explode. If there are people out there my age, they're probably, you know, if they're around, I just turned 53 this week. So these movies from that time period are right in your wheelhouse if you're in your mid-50s or if you're a little bit younger, if you're like 50. This was what you saw. You would go to Belmont and Central and maybe your parents would drop you off and go, yeah, go to the Will Rogers, see the crap, we'll pick you up in 2 hours. See ya. I don't want to see a donkey kicking a field goal. Thank you. I'm going to go someplace else. We'll be at the bar. You watch the donkey kicking the field goal. Vital entertainment back in those days. All right, we'll take a break. Everybody hang on. 312-981-720. We're talking about classic movie palaces and terrible live-action Walt Disney movies from the 70s. All right, be right back. God, I haven't heard this song in a long time. Two for Tuesday, everybody.
Yeah, two for Tuesday.
One artist, two songs. Get your requests in now. 312-981-7200. Canadian Bill requesting Alana Miles, Black Velvet. I guess I forgot Alana Miles is Canadian. I'm assuming she's Canadian because Canadian Bill requested it. So, welcome back, everybody. It's a Tuesday morning. We're going to talk about some of the most popular locations for filming in Illinois. Right now, though, we're talking about your favorite movie theaters that you grew up in, movie palaces. And I went off on a weird tangent about bad live-action 70s Disney movies because somebody texted in that they went to the Will Rogers all the time at Belmont and Central. So we are also going to play a round of Music IQ. Dan and Esmeralda and myself are going to quiz each other on music, and this game covers all genres and time periods and stuff. And Esmeralda did extraordinarily well the last time we played this, and we want to thank our listener Paul for just sending the game to us. We appreciate that because we like to have fun playing some music games and trivia games here. All right. Movie theaters, and Mike is on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, morning, Nick. Morning. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Hey, when you talk about Darren McGavin, you got to bring up Kolchak.
Yeah.
You can't bring up the...
He's Night Stalker. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw all those movies because I'm the same age as you.
Yeah.
So, but, no, going back to the movie theaters now, on the South Side, they used to have, like, one in every community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the Marquette, you had the Colony... And then you had the Peoples, where I saw my first flick that I told you about, Cat O' Nine Tails.
Sure.
Where I saw Jerry G. Bishop, a.k.a. Sven Gulli.
Yeah, the original Sven Gulli, yeah.
In like 1970. Then also you had the Brighton. You know, in Brighton Park, you had the Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, I used to have them like in every community. And like you say, it was, you know, nice. You can, you know, drop 30 cents in a CTA bus, get a transfer. And go to see a movie and come back for, you know, $1.50.
Mike, you should read Steve King's brother's book. You should read Safe Inside because all of those theaters that you mentioned are mentioned in the book.
Okay.
Yeah, you should read it. Lee Kingsmill is his name, and the book is called Safe Inside. I think you would really like it, especially mentioning all those Southside theaters because that's where the book takes place.
But I'll tell you another thing, Nick. With all those Disney movies.
Yeah.
And then going to the Colony and seeing the Sinbad movies, in my younger days, I kind of jumped from Kim Richards as my first little love.
Yeah.
To Caroline Monroe.
Oh, Caroline Monroe, please. Please. Yeah, no, Caroline Monroe she was hot. She was hot. She starred in some of the Hammer movies. She was in a couple of Sinbad films. She was in Star Crash. No, Caroline Monroe... was one of my major, like, I had kind of a crush on Kim Richards, but Carolyn Monroe I would see on screen and go, what's going on down below here? Because something's happening. And that didn't happen to me when I look at people before.
You know what? She was rather old, too. And I mean, not real old, but she was born in 49.
Yeah. She still does we've never had her at Flashback, but she still does conventions. She tours around and does conventions and, and she was one of my favorites, man. She was, I mean, seriously, Carolyn Monroe, forget it. She was unbelievably hot. So
yeah. Well, I'd like to see her and Christopher Lee together. That'd be a twosome I'd like to meet.
Yeah, well, Christopher Lee's dead. But
yeah,
but,
I know.
Okay.
I know.
All right, Mike. Thanks, man.
All right. Have a good day, Nick.
There you go. You guys aren't familiar with Carolyn Monroe, and that's M-U-N-R-O, not spelled like Marilyn. M-U-N-R-O. If you look her up, Google her and see what that, like a, when a 12-year-old looks at that, what a 12-year-old boy looks at that. She was in Bond movies. She was a Bond girl. She was in Hammer, you know, horror movies. All the stuff I loved when I was a kid. She was in the Sinbad movies. She was something else, man. Whoa. Please. Anyway. All right. Here we got a bunch of texts coming in about movie theaters. 708 area code says, I discovered the Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge due to you and Matthew Hoffman. Oh, cool. Very cool. That's a theater that we haven't mentioned yet, the beautiful Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge. I've gone to 4 or 5 of his presentations. We've gone back on other days, too, and we live in the far south side suburbs. We've also gone to the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove, and both are beautiful theaters. Tivoli is a beautiful theater. It's a beautiful theater. Let's see. 847 area code says, I went in the 60s to the Coronado Theater in Rockford. I never went there. I knew of that theater, but I never went to that one. Back in the late 50s, I had my first date with Al at the Gateway to see Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. We were making out in the balcony, and my aunt was sitting somewhere behind us. She called to tell my mother, and I got in a lot of trouble. Making out during Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Peter in Decatur says, growing up in Paris, Illinois, we often went to the Terre Haute, Indiana, into the Indiana Theater to see movies. It was one of those grand palaces. It was built in 1928, but we took it for granted. Recently, there was a major renovation, but it's been repurposed to serve the place to serve as a place for weddings, receptions, concerts, private party, dinner theater, stuff like that. 773 area code. My dad and granddad were motion picture operators. At one point in the late 50s on Saturday, I would go to the Times Theater, which was across the street from the Gale Street Inn, and I'd help Grandpa thread projectors, then watch double features and cartoons. Then I'd walk over to the Gateway where my dad was the operator, and they watched double features there, too. Wow, that's something right there. That's pretty cool. Your grandfather and your dad, both projectionists, 2 blocks away from each other. That's pretty cool, man. That is pretty cool. Every weekend, just going to see double features and helping your dad and your granddad thread projection, these thread projectors. That's awesome. That's an awesome story. 815 area code says, the Harding Theater in Logan Square was beautiful. I remember seeing the original War of the Worlds there and screaming nonstop, and I was afraid to walk home. Yeah, man. We have another memory here of 59th and Kedzie was the Colony Theater. That was next door to Gertie's Ice Cream. I would spend my Saturday afternoons there. The Marquette is gone, but the Colony still stands. We have the Mars Theater, which was located at 2540 North Milwaukee. I do not remember the Mars Theater. And I would have gone there had it been built, because 2540 North Milwaukee is an area that I would have definitely gotten to. What else we got? 312-981-7200. I don't think anyone has mentioned the Highway, which was, if memory serves, at 63rd and Western. The Mercury, which was in Elmwood Park, North Avenue, at Harlem. We mentioned that one already. The Gateway has been mentioned a few times. The Montclair. Oh, yeah, the Montclair. Grand Avenue, just 2 blocks east of Harlem Avenue. The Montclair. Been there many times. By the way, the site of my parents' first date was the Montclair Theater. My dad took my mom to see The Rat Race with Tony Curtis. So that was their first date. All right, we'll take a break. News is coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich. We'll have the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. We're here every morning from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah! Doug in Kansas City requesting The Smithereens with A Girl Like You. That song was originally written for the movie Say Anything. And Cameron Crowe, I guess, said no to it. And if you were to listen, and it's a great song, if you were to listen to the lyrics of that song, it's the entire plot of Say Anything. And they actually repeat, I'll say anything. like over and over again towards the end of the song. And I don't know, maybe Cameron Crowe thought it was a little too obvious. I don't know. But anyway, it became a hit for the Smithereens and not in the soundtrack. All right. We are talking about classic movie palaces, movie theaters that we went to when we were younger, and bringing back up some lovely memories about the live-action Walt Disney movies. Here's Tom on WGN. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, man.
I haven't heard anybody talk about the Rockne Theater on Division and Monitor, right between Austin and Central.
Oh,
probably for good reason. I think it opened with sticky floors and a dirty screen. My most vivid memory of that was my parents dropping me off one Sunday for a Planet of the Apes marathon.
No, there you go.
It was like five or six of them, and they just left us there for the day and came and picked us up when it was over.
That's exactly right. I did that. I think that was the Commodore. I think I saw they would do Go Ape marathons where they would show all five of the original Planet of the Apes movies.
Yep.
And you'd sit in the theater for however many hours it was, 10 hours. Watching these Planet of the Apes movies, and your parents didn't have to put up with you for 10 hours.
And it was cheap, so it was a good day.
Exactly right. All right, Tom, thank you.
Take it easy.
All right, take it easy. I love that. I think the theater opened with sticky floors and a dirty screen. that's what it was like going to those movies in the 70s in the loop. So this is here's Sean, by the way, on WGN. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Nick. Hey, listen, I went to this place in Bridgeport when I was a kid. It was called the Romova Grill. It was on 35th and Halsted. It's still there. It's been closed down for years. Mm. But I remember going there. The floor was sticky. There were so many rats in there. They let it allow cats in there. So you'd be sitting there watching the movie with the cats going, meow.
Right.
And you're throwing your popcorn at it.
Right, because there's cats. They're letting cats run around to try and kill the rats while people are trying to watch a movie. Yeah.
And then on top of it, the screen had a big hole blown in it from someone throwing an M80 at it and then duct taped it.
Yeah, listen, by the point, if there was a tear in a screen at some of these grindhouses, it wasn't going to get fixed. They just weren't going to fix it. especially if it was up high on the screen. Nobody's going to get a ladder and try and fix that.
Yeah. Well, at least it only costs 50 cents.
Yeah, that's it. All right, thanks, Sean.
Goodbye.
Bye. All right, 312-981-7200. So here's a nice little piece that William Horberg wrote. It's from his blog. And this is about the lost movie theaters of downtown Chicago. And this, I read this, and this is exactly... This represents like most of the movie going experiences of my childhood and early teen years. There we go. This is the McVickers is where I saw Jerry Gross Organization's presentation of I Spit on Your Grave during its downbeat grindhouse days. It was like a rock concert with the audience mostly drunk and homeless shouting at the screen as if they were interacting live with the characters in the movie. Been to the McVickers many times. Saw lots of terrible movies there at the McVickers. McVickers, by the way, Dan, you know the story about Mark of the Devil, that movie from the early 70s that my dad bribed a theater manager.
Oh, yes, yes.
So that I could, because I wanted to get the barf bag, because it came with a barf bag. It came with a Mark of the Devil barf bag. And it was one of those, it was unrated. It was an unrated movie, but it said no one under 17 would be allowed. And I was probably 8 or 9. And so my dad's, the person at the ticket taker is like, no, we can't let him in. You know, he's got to be 17. And my dad's like, he's fine. He'll be able to feel, he'll take it. He'll be able to take it. And they're like, no. So my dad said, let me speak to a manager. And a manager came up. He slipped him. I can't remember how much money he slipped him back then. Probably $5. If he gave him 10, that's half a week's salary. So I was probably 7 or 8, something like that. And my dad pays the guy, and then and the manager's like, okay, go ahead. And I got my barf bag, and then I watched the movie, and that was the McVickers. So my dad at the McVickers. That's where my dad greased a palm so I could get a barf bag from the movie Mark of the Devil. That was the McVickers. Let's see. The Clark was famous for the Pioneer and Revival and Repertory program when it was managed by Bruce Trindz. The real mecca for movie lovers back in those days was the old American films that were really in vogue. I remember seeing Murders of the Rue Morgue in there, the 1954 version of Phantoms of the Rue Morgue, which involved Paris and a vicious ape. The Oriental, which is now... people go, well, I don't know what's playing there, but one of the Broadway and Chicago big shows is playing there. That's where that is. And the Cadillac Palace used to be a terrible theater. I want to say that one was possibly the United Artist Theater because they were all on Randolph. They were all right down there in Randolph. And now that's, you know, Broadway District here in Chicago. The Oriental had the stickiest floors known to man. It was like stepping on flypaper and making it down to your aisle. Trying to make it down to the aisles of your seat. Rumor had it that they kept a family of badass cats there and let them out at night to take care of their rat problem. I have to say, I saw rats in the Oriental all the time. And they did have the stickiest floors. And I saw a bunch of movies there. I saw Tales from the Crypt with Peter Cushing there. I saw lots of terrible kung fu movies there. Speaking of rats, The Woods is where I saw Willard. That's where I saw Willard, too. The Woods was right across the street. Was on the other side of the Oriental, on the corner, right on the corner of Randolph, and I can't remember the cross section, but it was west of state, so Randolph just west of state, about a block and a half west of state, and so Willard, it said, man, that was one of the scariest movies ever for a young kid. Nightmares for months. I read later that they covered the actors in peanut butter for the scenes, so the rats seemed to be biting them. That's absolutely true. Ernest Borgnine got covered with a bunch of peanut butter and was they actually released like 150 rats onto Ernest Borgnine in that movie. And we saw the sequel there, too. What were you going to say?
Just Randolph and Dearborn.
Randolph and Dearborn. That's where it was. Okay. The Woods Theater. It was a fantastic place. I also saw Ben there. Ben was the sequel to Willard, which had the famous Michael Jackson song, which was a love song to a rat. Saw that there. Went to a midnight show. My dad took me and my cousins, Jeff and Kathy, to a midnight show to see Ben on a Friday night. The place was packed. Early 70s, man. Yeah, we're going to take the kids to a midnight show at the Woods Theater to see a movie about a rat with a Michael Jackson song in it. Willard, by the way, is a good movie, like with Bruce Davidson, Ernest Borgnine. And then the actual remake's not bad with Crispin Glover. It's not bad. Ben sucked. And it was one of those, because Willard made so much money, it was low budget, that they released Ben like 3 months later. Like, they seriously, it was like, make a movie about a rat, get Michael Jackson to write a song about it and release it now. And it made a ton of money. Kitty Corner from the Woods was the United Artists. Great theater. If I remember this, just south of the United Artists was this cafeteria that had a donut making machine. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. You could see round blobs of dough coming down a conveyor belt being dumped into boiling oil and where they fried and they continued with frosting or dusting them. It was mesmerizing, like watching a donut movie. The Roosevelt will always be where I was the home of the Planet of the Apes marathons. All five ape movies back to back to back in one sitting. The Roosevelt. I saw a lot of great movies at the Roosevelt. Black Christmas. I saw Black Christmas, the original Black Christmas at the Roosevelt. I saw this 3D kung fu movie called Dynasty there. I don't even know if that's even a thing, if that movie exists anymore. In early 70s, mid 70s, it's called Dynasty, and it's a kung fu movie, and it was in 3D. The Chicago was one of the last of the downtown cinema palaces still standing, although it was repurposed for the post 21st century. Been to the Chicago Theater a bunch of times. That's where I saw Apocalypse Now. I saw Apocalypse Now there, too. And most memorably is where I saw Cronenberg's Scanners. When the guy's head blew up, the whole room jumped out of their seats and screamed. One of my all-time favorite movie memories was the opening weekend of Cooley High. I think it was the State Lake. The State Lake was located right across the street. Well, at State and Lake, but it was located right across the street from the Chicago Theater where ABC does the news. That's where the State Lake, that's where they have the Channel 7, you can go by the window and knock on the window and stuff. That's the State Lake Theater. There's a Potbellies. Actually, like the Potbellies, you know where the Potbellies is?
Oh, sure, yeah.
All right, so the Potbellies all the way down to like the ABC studio, that was the State Lake.
Oh, interesting.
And that was right across the street. That's where I saw Suspiria. That's where I saw the scariest movie ever in my life. I will never forget that experience. And I remember the sound at the State Lake was insane. It was insane. So the Loop was a small theater right next door to the Chicago. And he talks about, like, and the Loop always had, like, you know, like movies that the Chicago wouldn't show. Because it was, and it also had like a little marquee. It was right across the alley from the, you know, the Chicago Theater is gorgeous. Right across the alley from the Chicago Theater on State was the Loop. And it had like a smaller marquee. And they always, I remember Fritz the Cat played there for a real long time. The Fine Arts, you guys remember the Fine Arts Theater? That was in the Fine Arts building at, I want to say 400 South Michigan, about 300 or 400 South on Michigan. It's the Fine Arts building where they had classes and stuff inside, but then they opened a multiplex movie theater in there. And that's where Stop Making Sense, the Talking Heads movie, played like nonstop. It opened at the Fine Arts, and people would go like every Friday night or Saturday night to see Stop Making Sense. And I was one of them. Fine Arts Theater was very popular in the 80s. Very popular in the 80s. Maybe it was south of... Maybe it was south of the 600. Maybe it was further south than that.
A great website that I'm checking frequently throughout this conversation is called cinematreasures.org.
Yeah.
And cinematreasures.org has it as the Studebaker Theater and the Playhouse Theater at 410 South Michigan Avenue.
That's it. But it became that's what it originally was. And then it became the Fine Arts Center where they had dance classes and other art classes. And they opened up like a four screen plex there. So those are some of the ones that were written about in this blog, William Horberg's blog. And if you want to look it up, it's a really wonderful little piece about the lost movie theaters of downtown Chicago, is where I spent the majority of my youth watching movies. All right. Take a quick break and we'll wrap this up. We'll wrap up the movie theater conversation. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. What's happening? It's 2 for Tuesday. You mean 2 for Tuesday? 312-981-7200. We're here till 5 o'clock, and we've been talking about movie theaters that we grew up going to and movie palaces, and this all stemmed from a conversation we had with Andy Pierce, who's part of the Friends of the Uptown Theater, where they have announced that there's going to be a $75 million revival and restoration of the beautiful Uptown Theater in Chicago. And that got me to thinking about some of the great movie palaces of the past. And you guys have been coming, calling, and texting with all kinds of fun memories here. 815 area code said, the Egyptian in DeKalb, the Coronado in Rockford, and the Adler in Davenport were impressive old theaters to catch a movie in back in the day. 847 area code says, my childhood theater was in Homewood. I started going with my friends at 8 or 9 years old. The theater was not especially ornate, but I remember being in awe walking in to find a seat. I saw Hard Day's Night 11 times. I didn't care what the movie was that was playing. We just wanted to go. It was torn down not too long ago, but I have fond memories of that time in my life. That's kind of like what my friend Dan Long and I would do every Saturday when we walk up to the Davis. And at that time, Davis Theater was one. It was just one theater. It wasn't a complex. It was just one theater. And we would go there every Saturday. We would go to the Hild Library, get a bunch of books, which is now the Old Town School of Folk. That used to be the Hild Library. And then we'd walk over to Davis and see whatever double feature was playing there. That was Saturday. That was our Saturday. Like late afternoon, we get home around at 7:30, 8 o'clock. 262 area code says, what about The Cat from Outer Space? Oh, another Disney classic. There was also That Darned Cat. That starred Dean Jones. And there was the Shaggy Dog and the Shaggy D.A. Do you guys remember those? Where the guy turned into a dog?
I do think I saw the Shaggy D.A.
Shaggy D.A. was the sequel. Shaggy Dog and the Shaggy D.A. And That Darned Cat. That's what you call Will Rogers Theater Fair. 708 area code says the Coral Theater at 95th and Cicero is great. Tom and Steger said, I went to the Beverly Theater at 95th and Ashland. I saw Three the Hard Way. I saw Return of the Dragon and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Nice combination right there. Three the Hard Way, which is a black exploitation western. Return of the Dragon, which is a Bruce Lee kung fu movie. and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, which is the kids' movie with Dick Van Dyke in a car. And Tom says, now it's a church. Some of the other ones that I'll mention here really quickly. The Water Tower Theaters, those were the theaters I went to see a lot of movies at the Water Tower when I was like 14 through about 18 or 19. I saw a lot of movies at the Water Tower. Or just jump on the train and go down and see movies. The Biograph, I can't believe nobody mentioned the Biograph. That was a beautiful theater and historical. I mean, John Dillinger was killed right in front of the place. The Three Penny, which was across from the Biograph, Three Penny Theater. That was a great theater. That was like a second run house from the day it was born, though. It didn't have like a real marquee out front. It had like a very narrow, weird popcorn and concession stand. They split it into two theaters at one point. The Three Penny. Then we mentioned the Fine Arts. So we got a few more texts here to wrap it up. Let's see. 630 says, I used to go to the Oak Show to see Westerns. On Saturday, they would have a yo-yo contest. Then we go to Margie's for ice cream at Western and Armitage. I think it was 25 cents to get in. Been to the Oak. I used to go to the Oak a lot over on Western. Wild Bill says the Cadillac Palace Theater was the Bismarck Theater. Okay. All right. The Bismarck. Dino says the Tiffin. Oh, my God. The Tiffin. Oh, the Tiffin. I totally forgot about the Tiffin. That was Dan. That was another one of those theaters that was perpetually born with sticky floors. The Tiffin was a dump. The Tiffin was a dump. Oh, here's another dump that I saw a ton of movies in. Belmont and Cicero. On Belmont, just east of Cicero, was a theater called the Luna. The Luna Theater. And here's what was distinctive about the Luna. They showed crap movies most of the time. And I went to the Luna all the time. Take the Belmont bus right up there and go. And they didn't have doors to get into the auditorium. There were no doors. You know how most theaters you have to open up the swinging doors or doors to go in? They had curtains. So you could hear everything that was happening in the lobby. Because there were no doors. There was no like soundproofing. There were just like thin curtains in the back of the house. And then like it got worse because in the late 70s, early 80s, they put video games right outside in the lobby, right outside of the curtain. So you're trying to watch a movie and you hear Galaga and you know pinball machines going. That place was a dump, but I went there a million times. So that's where I saw I Spit on Your Grave. Billy says, the Davis, the Biograph, and there was on Western and Peterson and Devon. I can't remember the name of. That's the Nortown, the one we mentioned before. All right. Lots of memories. The Luna. Oh, man. Okay, let's take a break. We got the news coming up right after this.